Hey, and welcome to the Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Today's episode is sponsored by Fairway Market, like no other market. For more information on Fairway, visit www.fairwaymarket.com. It is hot out. It's absolutely sweltering. 100 degrees here in Brooklyn. Luckily, our little studio behind Roberta's Pizzeria has a lovely AC unit, which I'm going to, you know, kiss hands, slap afterwards, and yeah, be thankful that someone invented that gorgeous device. Today's episode, I'm lucky enough to have Emily Baltz and Jason Wright of Fork and Design. They're a New York-based consultancy that creates communication solutions for the food industry, and they're committed to culture, not simply through the traditional marketplace, you know, identity, website, photography, but also through food-related installation, performance, and mixed media art, which we'll tell you a little bit more about in a little. What I'm very much interested in is how you guys encapsulate a project, how you encompass a project, all the EN words, that you wear many hats with companies such as Dovetail, one of your clients, a lot of Will Goldfarb's past, you know, restaurants and projects from Room for Dessert to Picnic. But that there's a difference between what Fork and Design does and other marketing or website or, you know, branding agencies do, that you become like this extra person, this, you know, go-to for the restaurant or for your client that can do anything, like that does anything and has done everything for it. How to start off on this conversation, because you have so many different facets to it, it's a little hard. And I think I kind of want to start by talking about your mission statement, which I just quickly read over, and maybe we can explore that a little bit more. What is the difference between the traditional marketplace and your new idea of food-related installation, performance, and mixed media?
The fact that we really like to eat? No. I think part of what we've really tried to do is to be, I mean, in this non-traditional approach, it's having worked in the design world for years and years. Both Jason and I come from very traditional design backgrounds, where I think each of us were in agency settings where it was more of a siloed discipline. So
what exactly is a siloed discipline?
Like a singular thing. So, hey, think of a silo of corn. It's all corn. Yeah. Oh. So we would, you know, you would sit and make a logo all day long. You'd make just a website all day long. And these things are obviously, they obviously train a huge amount of skill. But often what happens, especially when you're working with clients, is that the holistic vision gets lost a lot of the time when you're only focused on like one piece of the engine instead of thinking about how the whole car runs, where it wants to go, what kind of weather it needs to function in. All of these parts are what we've tried to be able to do with Fork and Design, because it's also given the nature of the people that we work with. Restaurants are huge organisms that don't really...
ever-evolving, ever-changing.
Ever-evolving. And so to be able to offer creative services, it was really difficult for us just to come in as one person and not be able to talk to the chef, to talk to the service staff, to understand, you know, how are users even going to know what this place is about? So from an interactive way as well. We really try to offer all these services to be able to create very holistic visions, only due to the fact that the food experience is totally holistic. So it's not just about the food. It's always about, it's about the environment. It's about the person who comes to your table. It's about the music that you're listening to.
So solely on that, do you find clients have a dining experience and say, well, this is a place I'd like to work for, and create that experience, you know, visually through website photography interaction? Or do these people approach you and then say, well, the only way I can do this is by dining in your establishment first to understand what your larger vision is?
Well, it's a little both, actually. You know, a lot of what we do is we're essentially painting a picture. Just like if you're going into a restaurant, you order a meal and you enjoy the meal and it's this beautiful presentation. And that's essentially what we're trying to offer our clients, which would be from start to finish, a beautiful presentation, a beautiful look, and really to just translate what they're trying to accomplish at the restaurant. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And luckily, we're not this huge company that can't offer these things. We're very, very flexible because we're small.
Yeah, you're a company of two, pretty much. Yeah.
Company of two, plus or minus
plus
17.
Plus a million other people. Yeah. I mean, nothing gets done unless it's a collective. I mean, really, that's the only way anything would get done, especially in this business too.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, depending on if you are a restaurateur, for example, and suddenly you have a catering party of 1,000 and you're used to serving 10, you know, you're going to ramp up your staff with people who are qualified to be able to help you offer those services. Your creative vision doesn't change in any way. Your product offering shouldn't change. But you can scale. I mean, that's the great thing about working in the marketplace today in this capacity is we have a great network of people that we work with. So we're able to scale up and down as needed. And so that really offers a lot of flexibility.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Collaboration.
Yeah. Remember that word, you know.
Key phrase.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of collaboration, some of your clients, how do you initially get approached by people like John Fraser of Dovetail, who you've done everything from, you know, menu design to industrial design for, or Will Goldfarb, who you've done packaging design, you know, signage, that much more, you know, this ephemeral stuff. How did you initially meet those two characters?
Yeah, they're therapists usually. That was a joke. Yeah. A lot of the time it's word of mouth. And that's, I think for both of us, that's really amazing because that means that our work is speaking for itself. And the relationships that we build with these people speak for themselves as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's through personal friends. Sometimes it's through business relationships. Occasionally it is just saying, oh my God, I so respect you. We have to work with you, and approaching them and trying to strike up some sort of collaboration or partnership. Yeah. Exactly. I think that's the way we usually think of our projects, is that they're much more partnerships. You kind of have to be in the family if you're going to work in this industry.
Like in the majority of work, I was speaking with Jason before, like a lot of what he's done recently too is websites for movies and non-food related industry. What was your first breaking ground food?
I'd say Will, working with Will is probably the first thing. That's actually how we met, is through Will.
Yeah.
You ask how I meet these people. I actually went to high school with Will. But, you know, we, after college and everything like that, we really weren't in touch, and we wound up just meeting through, you know, friend of a friend, and we just hit it off, and he was doing his restaurant thing and I was doing my design thing, and it all made sense, and we both view how people approach design and approach food, we both view it in very, very similar ways. It's very experiential. It's involving all the senses.
Yeah.
We both agree with a lot of that. And then Emily and I met working on these projects together. And so it pretty much, that's how it launched, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We shared a cheese plate, I think.
Yeah. Cheese plate.
Cheese plate.
And
like cheese.
Yeah, so pretty much go to restaurants that you can share food at because you might have a business partner in the future.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'd say that that's with all clients, though, in general. Yeah. You know, there's, like you said, I also do stuff with movies and a bunch of other industries as well. But again, food is my real passion.
Yeah,
it's both of our real passions. And, you know, if you're working with something that you really love and enjoy, I have a garden, and this whole weekend for 4th of July, I was making zucchini with squash zucchini blossoms and pesto pizza, homemade stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I didn't do that stuff on my own, I wouldn't be interested as much in doing this kind of work.
So what kind of forms and functions do you look for in restaurants that do you want to explore your own, credentials and gain more experience knowing how to do better pizzas or knowing how to do better this? Or are you looking for clients like we'll speak of John Fraser, because his food, both he and Will have out there food, but John's at this point where it's hard to do at home. And do you look for people that are experiential in their restaurant, or overall character?
Yeah, for us, the basic point is, no matter what the typology of the cuisine is, it's more of the passion of the creator.
Yeah.
And that can be found in something as, we're in the palace of pizza right now.
Yeah.
Something so simple, but here there's an incredible experiential part of that food, which is actually very simple. It's peasant food in origin,
It's a cucina proverb.
Yeah. See? But that, I think, is really what we try to find in our clients. And it doesn't matter high, low, rich or poor. It's a little bit more about how these people and these creatives approach their vision. And to find kind of parallel mindsets is really, really probably the greatest way to work. And so I think that's how we try to find our clients and those people that we love to work with.
Yeah. And John, some of his plates, I don't know if you can take a plate and dissect it aesthetically and then say this is how we implemented to a website or to menu design, but is there anything striking of his techniques or his dishes that then helped you with the overall aesthesis of, you know, his identity?
Yeah, I think that's actually something that we're talking about right now with him, sort of, is what the next generation of that brand will be. And at core, something that I think is an overarching theme with his food is this combination of old and new, modern and rustic. So being able to see the techniques that he's using, you know, and using some very simple traditional recipes, but then either plating them in new ways or presenting them in new forms, that's something that can pretty easily, as a culinary concept, translate into a design concept, because you can use those same things. You can use sort of rustic materials, but present them in a totally new form. You know, something that's usually organic and natural looking, you can take that same material and present it in a really rectilinear geometric form.
Yeah.
And start to communicate that same thing.
Yeah.
So that's sort of a good example of how we've taken like a cooking philosophy and translated it into more of like a formal philosophy.
And then how does that lead into the industrial idea of the vase that you had done for John Fraser?
Yeah, so that is a pretty direct representation of it. Yeah. That's more, well, the tagline, sort of what John came up with us, was this idea that Dovetail was about the joining together harmoniously of two things. And so there's a vase that we designed, which has actually to do with it, which is a pretty organic shape, but has this fold in it. And so that very simply and clearly represents these two pieces coming together around this really organic form. And that form actually gets mimicked both in the logo, you kind of see that same line to it, as well as actually just very simply in the folding of the napkins. That was something we actually talked about a lot in the beginning with him, is that he really wanted his napkins not to be folded in a rectilinear way or of an overly like strange peacock feather fan thing.
So, I mean, even with these, I wouldn't necessarily call them idiosyncrasies, but details, you guys consult with the chefs on how to fold their napkins or how to maybe even, you know, set up a tablecloth or a table?
Depends on the project.
Yeah.
Depends on the project, depends on the budget, depends on how much detail the client wants to go in with us.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where it's just a website that we're doing, or it's just a logo or something like that. But, you know, our ideal clients, it's just this holistic process.
Absolutely, because that's where you really get to it. Just like with any food, the more attention you pay to the details, the more delicious it is as an experience. And so those are the projects that
are
really great.
Yeah, it also makes it easy. You know, you were talking about the passion of the chef, if you want to call it that. But it's easier for us to do our job with any client that has a sincere and true passion about what they do. It's easier for us to represent them visually, come up with just design concepts all across the board and work with them. You know, if I have any advice to any clients or aspiring chefs out there, it's just, if you have a point of view, it makes everything easier. You know, instead of just, I want to open up a pizza joint.
Yeah,
you
know? Have as much passion translated into that POV as possible. And you work with great people like Fork and Design. We're going to take our break really quickly. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about sincerity and how to kind of take that into a 2D form, such as websites, marketing, and then into the more interesting food-related installation performance and mixed media as their Tasteology events and CMYK cocktails. Hungry yet? This is Michael Harlan Turkell. You're listening to The Food Scene. Welcome back to the Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Michael Harlan Turkel, your host, here today with Fork and Design, Jason Wright and Emily Baltz.
Hello.
Hello. Everybody say hello? Yeah, we were just commenting on how great Jason's radio voice is.
Thank you.
That you might actually see him as my new sidekick slash Ed McMahon-esque voiceover guy for this.
We do have the nice chairs for him.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Speaking of voiceover, I mean, do you ever do the voiceover for the movie websites? Or is that an aspiration?
I've done some very horrible voiceovers for, I've done some cartoon animation stuff. Yeah, just... because
that might be for another show.
Yeah, we couldn't afford a proper voice talent.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Little do you know, this is our other business. Yeah, we right. actually both moonlight in voiceovers. Excellent.
That's why I asked him on the air. That's why. Yeah. But just before, we had been talking about chefs and their point of view and sincerity and like almost humble humility towards the food that they serve and how much that actually helps you guys do what you do. And these two different ideas, you know, having the website and 2D marketing versus interaction, how does that translate into those two things? Because when I think of, you know, a chef's restaurants or experience, sometimes it's hard for me to understand as a 2D experience and much more so as, you know, an interactive form where you can taste their food, meet the chef, and be in the space. How do you, you know, emulate that experiential thing back into a website?
Well, I don't know if you're exactly... I usually approach it from the standpoint of the potential customer and what would they want out of a restaurant website. And I don't necessarily view it as a strict interpretation of what they're serving there, but it's sort of like a little teaser. It's a little appetizer. Yeah. And if you look at it that way, you kind of can't go wrong. And obviously, having great imagery certainly helps things.
Yeah.
Emily is a fantastic photographer, and that certainly makes things a lot easier. A lot of what we do a lot of restaurant food photography. And when chefs and our clients spend the time and the effort to actually work at making product that we could shoot beautifully, it helps us a great deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, too, something we try to achieve with the interactive experience is that there are, you know, dependent on, when we were talking earlier about details, right?
Yeah.
There are some cuisines that have a huge amount of detail and a huge amount of texture to them. This is, you know, just an example. That can be something that you can translate. You know, that's a very three-dimensional experience. When you're eating it, things are exploding in your mouth. It's a little squishy. It's a little rough. It's a little chewy. How do you start to translate that into 2D? That sort of seems to be your question. Seemingly strange and impossible, but there are things like the texture of the page or the amount of sort of small little dots or details or the way that the photography is executed. All of those things are something that we really try to talk about with the chef, the creator, you know, if it's a restaurateur. And if those are important things, then suddenly, you know, the website and the interactive experience becomes more about details and textures and it is about like clean and geometry or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean it is resonant of their food and
you said that a lot.
Definitely.
More. Much elegant way to say it.
I do study the dictionary daily. Yes.
and then leading into those events, Tasteology, is that part of Fork and Design? Is that a way to do these experiential things? And what exactly is it?
Yeah, well, something that we work in this two-dimensional medium. I work sometimes a little bit more in the three-dimensional world, at least with Jason's input in terms of making vases and objects. But the experiential part is really, I think, at the heart of why we love food. And so Tasteology was this way for us, which we're terming kind of our test kitchen, a way for us to take this passion and this two-dimensional interest that we have and bring it more in not only three-dimensional, but four-dimensional. So recently we did this event called...
Four-dimensional.
You go to the moon and back. I think the moon's more than the fourth dimension. But
that's also another show.
Excuse me. So Sia Mike Cocktails was our last Tasteology event. And that took our medium. So Sia Mike is the graphic design printing, color printing standard. Cyan, yellow, magenta, and black. And... these are tools that we use every day. How do we start to create new meanings for those? When we look at these colors every day, they have meaning for us. We assign them meaning, and we're just like I explained, we're able to translate, use those tools, be able to translate, you know, a more experiential vision into a two-dimensional vision. But what Tasteology wanted to do is do more than just be able to talk about that stuff and make a pretty logo or a menu, is actually make people like submerse in that.
Yeah, so it's bridging the gap of, you know, chef and designer.
Exactly. Yeah. And so Seem Like a Cocktails very easily was a combination of designers talking about cyan, yellow, magenta, and black, and then we paired them with mixologists that each made their interpretation of cyan, yellow, magenta, and black.
Yeah. Can you give us a few examples of, you know, who participated and what the cocktails were? Or was it that good a nice that you
it
can't,
was yeah. you should have all gone
it
to
really
it.
Was beautiful.
No.
It was a beautiful, beautiful
It was
night.
Beautiful, yeah. beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful.
So are you hoping to do an RGB?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We actually have a series planned, hopefully, coming up. Of this, more of being able to look, actually, because we are in this world of industrial processes, right? And food is also in a world of industrial processes. A lot of what, you know, and I think something we'll talk about later is also looking at that in a more playful light. So what are ways that we can start to, you know, look at something like a standard and deconstruct it and start to experience it in new ways? Food is a great medium to do that because it's the most intimate experiential medium you can have. So you, literally, you listen about something, you look at it, you can smell it, you can hear it. Who knows? Maybe it snap, crackles, and pops. And then you put it in your mouth and you ingest it. And so you have this really holistic way of being able to not only interpret information, but kind of digest it and experience it.
I think that is actually a perfect segue to talk about what we're going to talk about later, because you keep on bringing up this idea of holistic, and Emily's new project that she's been working on, called Junk Foodie, tentatively titled, is 51 Delicious Recipes for the Lowbrow Gourmand, taking gourmet junk food and making it into more than just a, you know, a pretty plate. It's more a statement, but that's far off this holistic idea of, that you work with your clients. why yeah,
you do make a very good point.
You do make a very good point. And yes, well, I think this is the interesting thing about us. We come together and we can create incredibly corporate, professional, commercial solutions for clients. That said, we each have our own sort of passions and hilarity. Yeah. And part of the thing that one must keep doing, just like Jason Gardens, I happen to play with junk food. So we're really offering a spectrum of experience here. And to be honest, I've been obsessed with junk food. This is my personal obsession. I don't really eat it, but I think it's fascinating because I have training in industrial design. And so learning about industrial processes and materials and forms was integral to my education as a designer. And being really interested in the food world, the crossover there is industrial food, and that happens to be junk food. And so it's like I've been going to the grocery store working on this book project, I mean, over and over and over again. And I never go to these big, huge supermarkets. Blessed that I am living in Brooklyn, I can go to things like green markets and eat delicious food and talk to farmers. But I've been going like to the supermarkets of my youth, the big boxes, and it literally is like going to the hardware store for me because it's
overstimulus.
We went to Costco the other day, and I live on Long Island, so it's no big deal for me. But we went in there, and it was like, you know, people were giving out just free samples. She's like, "Oh my God, look at this! Look at the colors on the box." It was like watching a kid look at you know, just come to America for the first time.
You have to admit, though, when there is a woman in the aisle who's calling out, "Get your jelly bean, gourmet jelly beans,
gourmet
here.
Jelly beans,
gourmet all around, jelly beans." Yeah.
You have.
I hear
love.
Those are the best kind.
They were
of jelly
pretty
beans
fancy.
Too. Yeah,
they were delicious. Anyway, so then this project for me is not only it's cultural on one level, because I'm half French and I'm half American. So this for me was always really fascinating. Junk food was the food of aliens in America. I mean, I think it's
wait,
still
is. Why? I mean, because I see also UK junk food, like Cadbury has this stranglehold on, you know, all their crazy name things that are called like, I can't even name them, but they're very onomatopoeias or like portmanteaus. They're really weird words. And then you come here and there's some crazy stuff. There's some crazy US candies, from Skittles packaging to Twix to this and that. What are the ones that have struck you the most for this project?
Well, to be honest, I sort of wish we could go back to the retro days, because it's more of like the vocabulary used for these things. I mean, things like zingers and banana twins with faces not of bananas but of twins on them, you know, people, they become these personified things.
Yeah.
You know, why in the world is the present Twinkie packaging? Is a Twinkie riding a Twinkie in a Twinkie universe, but the Twinkie that's riding the Twinkie has a cowboy hat on and a necktie and a lasso.
Because it's anachronistic. that was a dictionary word. It's not even that. I mean, it's I can't even figure out the parallel universe that's coming from.
It's all the totally thought process. Strange.
So, I mean, this is like a complete departure from what you guys do with restaurants. But, I mean, this is the other side of the spectrum.
Well, but that's also part of it. You know, we have client work. And at the end of the day, you know, I have a mortgage. I have a daughter. You know, it's that kind of thing. And you need to do work that you love, and then you get to do, like the Tasteology stuff, work that you love for yourself that you're trying to put out and have other people experience with you. You know, client work is great. I mean, that's what we get to do all day, but it's for the client, and this is essentially for us.
You know? Yeah, and there's something to be said, I think, just like any balanced lifestyle or balanced meal, given the topic of this conversation, is some things are more nutritional and some things are more fantastical. And that doesn't mean that client projects don't have those two extremes, but you know, there are things, and there's a great place for structure and for discipline and client relationships and fulfilling user needs. I don't think either one of us would want to work if we couldn't do that, because there's something really satisfying also about working with another person and helping bring that vision to life. But everyone, no matter, I mean, even if you're in a relationship, you know, you have to also be able to feed yourself. And so we do things sometimes that have a little bit more humor and play involved in them. And play, I think, is a big part of our work, be it personal or professional or personal or commercial. That is something that we definitely need to bring in, because if you're not happy working, you're not happy.
Yeah. And you've had those situations where the quirks couldn't come through and couldn't work with that client there with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. But it's sort of part of, I mean, it happens with everything in life. It's not like it's unique to design.
Yeah, nothing's 100% fun all the time. I mean, that's just life. But yeah, I mean, even when we were naming our company, I mean, it's Fork and Design.
Yeah,
you know?
we're
it's kind of a little silly.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, too, when you go to a restaurant, you know, even if it's the most serious formal experience, it's still this joyous, or ideally that would be the case, and you're not, you know, screaming at each other for whatever reason, whatever, but it's a joyous experience that you're sharing with other people, and it's not something that has to be so formal, which I think a lot of other companies really get caught up in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of the day, I think our goal is for everyone to smile.
Yeah, because that's actual harmony.
Yeah. Well, when you put something in your mouth, what do you do if it's delicious? You smile.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we try to do. So we try to smile personally a lot, and we do that by sometimes feeding ourselves with ridiculous junk food projects. Yeah. Though it has strict cultural merit. They're all classic recipes remade in American junk food stuff. So you can
Red see hot chilaquiles.
Twinkie Napoleons.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's a must. Check it out.
It's coming out in November.
Fantastic. Oh, you're signed. You're good to go.
It goes off to the printer today.
Are you allowed to tell?
Yeah, now it's okay.
Okay, who's the publisher?
It's Adams Media. They're a division of F&W. And so F&W publishes Print and How magazines. So,
congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're going to destroy the youth of America today.
I take no responsibility. Yeah. There are disclaimers in the book. Do not eat this, but look at the beautiful photographs.
Yeah. So though there are disclaimers there shouldn't be any with working with Fork and Design. I mean, if you
great
want
segue.
Something, I try, you know, racked my sleepless night, not because of the 100-degree weather piping through the windows, but if you want to have truth and fun and excitement in working in your identity and interactivity with your restaurant project, I think Fork and Design is a good coupling of people to, you know, bring your project to. And I want to thank Jason and Emily again. Maybe we'll have you back on. I mean, the voices. I think everyone agrees. Jason and Emily have good radio voices. Maybe we'll put them on their own show.
Awesome. I do a good Aveeno commercial. Yeah.
That's for another show as well. Yes. But I'd like to thank Fairway Market as our sponsor today. For more info, www.fairwaymarket.com. Jack Inslee and Nat Wiener, producer and engineer, thank you again. This is Michael Harlan Turkell, your host of The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. See you next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Cheers.
See you next Tuesday.